Welcome to season two of Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branchy Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts, and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in the show notes. And I'm here with Letitia Cole, who is one of our Branchy Minds consultants who has a vast experience. I was just reading your bio this morning. I was like, she has so much experience in all areas of leading and teaching in MTSS and behavior and special education and so much more. So we're so excited to have you here on the podcast today, Letitia.
Of course, welcome. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, on Schoolin' Around, we love to have conversations with experts. Like I said, I'm a former teacher and instructional coach, and I led a lot of professional development. And Letitia does this every day for Branchy Minds. And so we're going to talk about professional development today. And Letitia, are you excited to kind of dive in? And
Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite topics. As you said, I do it every day. So yes, I am ready.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And so as we talk about it, do you have a top five professional development experience that you think of?
Yes, I definitely do. I would say one of my top experiences was one, they had food, so they fed me. But in all seriousness, it was a lot of activities that were really special to my role. And so I think that's really important that when you have professional development, that people can actually listen to what's being taught and what's being given, be enlightened, and actually be able to apply it to their own role and their responsibility. So that is something that I would definitely say is in my top five.
Yeah, same. I also would say one of my favorite kind of experiences was when I got to work with the people that I worked with every day. Like, we got to learn alongside each other, because then it was like easy to keep that learning going. And I always felt like any of those experiences were really great. So we're going to talk more about this today. I'm excited to talk about how to really take the theory of professional development into application, into the real world. And so to kind of kick us off, I want to talk about maybe how we can actually do that. Like, could you maybe discuss from your perspective and your experience some of those practical steps or strategies that educators could take to bridge that gap between theory and application, especially when it comes to MTSS implementation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that first we have to definitely understand that MTSS is a framework, right? And it's only as good as how we implement it and then, of course, sustain it. And with that, within the integral parts of that, we have to make sure that we understand that implementing is going to take practice, right? We have to know how to implement it. We have to know all the moving parts, if you will, and what it's going to take to successfully implement. As I share with many districts, you know, it takes time to implement MTSS. We're talking years, depending on the size of your district. And so over that time of implementation, we have to make sure that we are allowing our teachers, educators, the space and the time to learn how to implement it, again, in their own roles. And we can use data to guide us on what areas we need to start with, what areas we need to prioritize, what is it that our educators need, what is it that they actually need to learn to be able to implement this to fidelity. So I would definitely say, you know, obviously, one, understanding that this is a commitment, a long-term commitment. This is not a sprint, it's definitely a marathon. And while we're on this journey, what is the professional development that actually is needed, and using the data to guide us, you know, in that direction. Because if we know what our educators need, then we'll know how to, of course, better support them. And then ultimately, of course, our students are better supported.
Yeah, I think that data piece, right, we can't underestimate like how powerful that is, just as we would when we're like trying to intervene for students. I think the same thing goes when we're leading professional development, like using that data to really drive us to the most important factor or the most important training we need. And I liked what you said about how like the time it takes. I think that we underestimate how much it does take time to have really solid learning, I think, and learning that is deep, right? Because I think there's a lot of professional development that goes a mile wide, right? We sort of skim the surface a lot of the time and we don't actually go deep on certain topics. I think that that's really important. Taking the theory to application is digging deep on that.
Yeah. And I would even say, like, you know, to dig deep, we have to also understand that it's not going to be a one-time professional development. We get it and we're done, right? Like, we have to layer this. It has to be multiple opportunities to drive home or stamp whatever the topic is. And so just keeping that in mind too, that we can't just say, oh, we're going to have professional development at the beginning of the school year, and then we don't come back to it. And I think that that is something that sometimes we, again, because of time, because we're like, as you said, we have to get this done, that we forget that we did give it to, you know, maybe a few people or maybe our whole staff one time, but we need to continuously get professional development. And that's how we move it from theory into application.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you mentioned this, but like case studies, like how case studies can be a really powerful way to like actually apply what we're learning. And I was reading about this recently, and you know, there's a lot of other professions that use case studies to really practice their understanding of their practice, right? Like medicine, right, uses this all the time. They study case studies and what has been done and what could be done. And I was like, man, I don't think we use that enough. We maybe do somewhat, maybe as we do teacher prep programs, but even in the ongoing training is really examine sort of case studies and like how an intervention plan has worked. And like, you get to see all that plays out and then like think through what could have the teacher done differently. Studying those kind of things maybe could make a difference, I think could be really powerful.
Yeah, that. And then I would also say surveys. I think, you know, we think about surveys as trying to usually typically like culture and climate, like how are we doing? How's the hard things going? But I think just even taking MTSS from theory to application, it's just kind of surveying our educators to see what is it that they actually need, right? Like, we can look at our data, but sometimes educators can tell us, like, this is what we need help in. This is the area that we need professional development in. And so we should not underestimate the value of getting that feedback through surveys or, you know, any other outlet that we can get that in, or inlet, I should say, that we can get that in.
Okay, so kind of moving on, I would love to talk a little bit about some key components of that impactful PD, and with it, especially within MTSS, right? You go out and train teachers on MTSS, or you train staff, and how do maybe educational leaders how could they prioritize some of these components?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it already, time, right? You know, when I talk to most educators, and obviously even, you know, just myself, right? Just time is always at the forefront. We don't have time. Time can be so many things, right? We don't have enough time to actually do it. We don't have enough time to plan for it. We don't know when should we do it? Like, when should we actually give professional development, right? Like, or, you know, what should we give it on? And so when we're thinking about time, I would say, definitely make sure that we have the time protected. But also when we do have the time protected and we're in this space, that we make sure we give time for processing and practicing. Getting a lot of information to our educators is really important. But if they don't have time to actually process it or practice it, then it just literally falls somewhere, but not where we want it to fall, right? And so, I again, just really thinking about what is the area of prioritizing? What is the area that we really want to focus in on? What is the area of professional development that we really need to make sure that our educators have to improve their practices, give them time to process that information, and give them time to practice that that new learning. And then I would say, you know, real estate has, you know, the location, location, location. I always say application, application, application. We can, again, go in and we can learn everything that we possibly can. But if we don't have opportunity to apply what we learned, then we're going to either forget it or it's not going to be used. And so I think that those are some key components that we should definitely take in consideration. And obviously, no sitting gets. No sitting gets. We don't want that. And we want to make sure that our educators are able to take that information, process it, practice it, apply it in their own roles and responsibilities.
Yeah. Well, and I even think something you brought up about like the time of like not overwhelming teachers. And I think like oftentimes, you know, at the beginning of the year, right, you're sitting in those professional development meetings prior to the start of the school year. And many educators like maybe even dread or not like love those times because they're also considering all of those little things they need to do to get their classroom ready and like be ready for that first day of school. And sometimes those professional development, I feel like I always learned less in those because I'm so overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that has to happen. And so I always think of like time is also like when the kind of deep learning needs to happen, like making sure that it's a time when teachers have time to process or have time to maybe immediately apply that, or there's not other like 50 other things happening at that same time. I think it's important to think about all of those factors when you're going to lead a training session. And even like when, you know, you pull teachers out for a day, right? You know, a day of training or a half day of training is like making sure some of those little details are taken care of, you know, that all the subs are booked and all those kind of things, because those things you want to free up the brain space of the educator to be able to focus on that learning. And so I just think about that of like when you do the professional development also matters.
Absolutely.
And I also want to note that you talked about no sit and get. And I don't know, like who's listening that's been victimized by sit and get, but there is the time and place for maybe like a really good deep talk and like somebody who's maybe inspirational. But there's sometimes if we lean too heavy on the sit and get, I think there needs to be a variety. And I always like, if you can provide your teachers with a choice in how they learn something, I think is a fantastic thing. So, okay. So this is the question I was really looking forward to ask you, because you spend a lot of time in different schools and probably have had lots of different professional development. What are some kind of really innovative methods you've seen to enhance or make professional development really amazing around MTSS?
I know that I said in my top five experiences that they fed me, but this might not be like super innovative, but it really does make a difference to have food and snacks within your professional development. You know, it doesn't have to be a full meal, but just like something to snack on, grab on the table, candy, sugar, whatever, just to make sure that people can stay awake. And when people are hungry, they cannot learn. They cannot focus. So definitely making sure that if you can, definitely provide some type of food. I would say having fun during your professional development, and that goes to the no sitting get. Really being creative and making sure that while we're learning, we're having fun. And I know that sounds very simple, but it is something that is a lot of times lacking in professional development. Again, as we're thinking about all the things that we have to get done, we might sometimes forget that we need to embed some type of fun activity. Even if it's just a fun welcoming activity or maybe a fun activity to do during breaks, you know, in between that transition time, we really definitely want to make sure that is a part of our professional development. I would say making sure, like I think you mentioned this earlier, making sure that everyone has something that they can learn from. So thinking about our learning preferences and trying to make sure that our professional development has something for everybody to be able to take away and be able to take a part of. So articles, videos, collaborative activities, and specifically if we're doing collaborative activities, you also mentioned this before in the beginning, we always sometimes try to, well, I think we always try to do collaborative activities, but sometimes you want to mix people up, right? Sit next to someone you don't know, sit next to someone you usually don't work with. But if we are really thinking about MTSS, we really do want to sit next to our teams, the people that we work with. And so when we're collaborating, we're able to not only share our experiences, but also be able to hear the roles of our teammates, our colleagues, and be able to learn and grow in so many different ways that we didn't maybe have before, because I might be a counselor and you might be a teacher, and the way my role and responsibilities work in the MTSS framework or workflow might be much different, but I haven't been privy to know what your role is. And so me sitting down and learning with you, not only are you getting a deeper knowledge of what I do in the workflow, but I'm learning what you do in the workflow. And now we can share that experience together. So I definitely say collaborative activities. And if we can, definitely keep people next to the people that they work with the closest to implement MTSS. And then I would say that the biggest innovative or the most innovative method is going to be to learn, apply, and monitor. And I always think about sports. When we go out or you watch a game, that's not the first time that those players have learned the skill or the techniques to play that sport. They have practice, right? And so I think of professional development as our practice. This is where we are going to learn what it is that we're going to have to eventually apply. And when it's time to apply, that's the game. But in the game, the coach does not just let you do it wrong, right? Like the coach is going to correct that player in the middle of the game, might call a timeout and say, hey, that's not how we learned this. I need you to adjust so that we can win this game. And so I think that when we have professional development, a lot of times we give the professional development and we say, okay, go out and do it. But no one is there to actually monitor to see, is this actually being applied or implemented in the way that we intended it to be? And if it's not, it's okay. It's just a conversation of, hey, how can we do this better? And how can I come back next time to see you do it better? Or how can you improve this, and how what support do you need to be able to do it better? So again, I think, again, just really thinking about professional development is definitely the part of obviously receiving the learning and then giving the time to apply it. But then the last piece is going to be monitoring it and making sure that what we intended the learning to be, what we intended the application to be, is actually being implemented fidelity.
Yeah.
And if we, then we give more professional development.
Well, and I was thinking too, as you're talking about the sort of the learn, apply, and monitor, there is a little bit of like the role of the leader to be sort of the observer, right? Like you have to be watching the game for it to happen. And and how powerful observation, even though I know as a teacher, sometimes when a principal walks into your room, that's kind of nerve wracking, you know, but I think when it becomes a norm, right, becomes a norm in the building for the leader to be in the classroom or for whoever, whether instructional coach or MTSS coordinator or whoever it is, but to be observing the game happening, right? And to be like, that's your data collection of like, okay, so I see a lot of teachers doing this similar thing. Well, maybe we didn't go over that. Maybe we need to talk about that a little bit and have the team reflect on it. Cause sometimes that piece where the team goes, yeah, we did this wrong. Like, you know, we need more practice. Like sometimes the team will tell you where they need the help. And I think that that's where that collaboration and even like coming back after doing the observation can really help. And I think that and I know that's hard. Like I say that knowing like leaders being in the observation in the classroom is really hard with all the things that they're doing. But like, if that is priority, if like, this is a really important thing, like blocking off that time and protecting that time to be in the classrooms and to be observing is really key into moving some of that learning forward and making that, you know, not making it surface level, but continuing the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, like, as you said, like the team will say like, oh yeah, we did that wrong. And I always go back to that. That's the film part, right? Like, well, teams will get together and watch the film from the game, right? And everyone can see where the mistakes are and things like that. And in that environment, no one feels like, oh, like I'm being called out. Like everyone knows, like, this is the time where we can actually learn how we can get better as a team. I made this mistake. She or he made that mistake, but you know what, next time this is how we're going to execute it. And I think that's really important to have that space, as you said, where it's comfortable, that our leaders can be in the classroom, but also that our educators feel vulnerable enough and comfortable enough to be able to share their experiences, whether there are successes or sometimes areas of growth, and be in that space and be comfortable.
Okay, so how do we create that environment, right? Like how do we create that kind of culture where that people feel safe to talk about the mistakes that they make, right? I feel like that's the thing. Someone's talking to this recording, they're listening and they're going, but yeah, that sounds great. But like, how do you make that happen?
Yeah. And I think that that's something that we have to model, right? Like, and having continuous improvement culture, everyone, no one is perfect, and we are always able to grow in some area, and just understanding that and really embodying that really helps us to really reframe what does it mean to perfect our craft or grow as an educator. We always have room to grow. I would say for myself, just kind of thinking back when I was administrator, I always made sure that my goals were public. So whatever goals that I had, obviously for the school, but also for myself as an educator, when you walked into my office, you saw that my three goals for whether it was for the year or for the quarter. And I think that having that, having that posted, then it made other people in my building way more comfortable to either one, create goals for themselves, and then share those goals, and then be able to hold each other accountable. I'll never forget the first time I became an AP, and I just through conversation was sharing that I wanted to make sure that I took walks on my lunch, and I wanted to make sure that I, you know, just move my body more. And I said this in front of my whole staff, and the amount of people who just literally shared and said, oh, you know, there's a trail not too far from here, or there's these great walking shoes that I have that you should try to get. And it was really amazing to see how people came together to help me reach my goal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just really fantastic. And so if we can get to that point where we have our goals that are public, what I call them, whether, you know, the men from the leaders to the educators to the students, knowing what their goals are. And then when everyone knows what everyone's goals is, people are going to help you make, you know, reach those goals. And it becomes comfortable, and it becomes, I have goals, everyone has goals. This is not just I need to grow on something and everyone else is perfect. It becomes a very safe space for learning and then sharing and then helping. And then, of course, celebrating, right? When we reach those goals, making that public too, celebrating each other for our strides and our successes. Again, students, parents, families, educators, and, you know, everyone who's involved in the MTSS workflow.
Yeah, I actually think that that's a fantastic example, because I think even when someone would say like, oh, I really want to do this in my classroom, like they're like, oh, well, I have this worksheet or I have this resource that I like, there is that thing of like, when you share your goals, when people come alongside you and they want you to be successful, how empowering that is. And it also does hold you accountable. Like, it does sort of say, like, then people are going to ask you about that, right? Like, I always think about when I first ran a half marathon, I told people, and then I was like, well, now I told people, they're going to ask about it. So like, I got to do it. So I think that's the part of it, is that creating that culture, that's a really good way for a leader to sort of start to set that tone of like, hey, I really want to get better at my walkthroughs. And, you know, maybe someone will be like, here's a rolling desk that you could use.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think that those are just, that's such a good starting point for people who are like, I don't know how to do that work, to start that environment of continuous learning. So, and I also want to talk about celebrations a little bit, because something that I recently, I think one of the Branching Minds, I don't know if it was you or somebody else that was talking about this, but something they do is like do a cheers. Like, when someone shares a win about their learning and they like say a cheers, and then there's like a whole thing of like, you have different things like to say. Was that you, or is that somebody else?
No, that wasn't, but that sounds really interesting.
Well, and I thought it was just like, if having sort of something like when someone shares a win, like everyone says, they're like, cheers. And I just love that, because like, establishing a culture of celebration, I think is really, and that trickles down to students, I think is huge. And there's so many hard things. I don't know. I just think there's so many hard things in education, why not make, like, when there's good things happen, like, make a big deal out of it?
Absolutely. And I would always encourage, especially my leaders, there should be designated spots in your building where celebrations are posted and visible. And everyone should know what they are. And so, obviously most schools will announce celebrations, but just throughout the building, there should be places where you can see celebratory measures, whether again for students, for educators, just so that it's visible and people are being celebrated. And so again, it creates that culture of celebration just visibly in your halls, in your building.
Hi there. I'm interrupting this conversation to share another MTSS Hero shout out. These are those educators that go above and beyond and deserve celebration for their hard work in their school. Today, I want to celebrate Nancy from Chicago Public Schools for her hard work as an interventionist. Her colleague Abigail shared this about her. There is not enough space to describe all the ways that Nancy goes above and beyond to support our students and teachers. Her vision for MTSS at our school guides our work and has led to a real movement for students. She is thoughtful, knowledgeable, and above all, kind and understanding. Thank you, Nancy, for your dedication, hard work, and all that you do. Now, back to our conversation. Leading professional development kind of has a bad, or just professional development may have a bad taste in the mouth for many educators, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking about, and every district is very different, but what are some of those obstacles that maybe get in the way of really high quality professional development? Or like, what are the things that maybe are obstacles that people find when they're like trying to do that PD for MTSS?
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think there's anyone who can say like every single one of my PDs have been, fantastic. And it really does leave a sour taste in your mouth when you have so little time and you spend it and you just feel like your time is wasted. Or as I say, I feel like it could have been an email or something like that, right? But I would say that some of the obstacles are, again, time. And I know that that keeps coming up. But again, just when do we have PD? When do we have the time to do it? And then I think also just the last minute preparation or scheduling. So I want to take a little time with this. I think it's really important for us to, of course, use data, use the feedback that we're getting to guide our decisions on what professional development is needed for our staff and our educators at the time. And we should be able to mark that out on a calendar, right? Like if we have a year calendar, we should be actually able to plan out PD for the year. But we also need to be able to be flexible. And so what I mean by that is if we plan out for PD for the entire year, but our middle of the year results show us that maybe the PD at the end of the year is not appropriate anymore, we have to be able to be flexible without kind of rushing it, right? Like the last minute preparation. So the calendar for the year gives us that, like that foresight on what we are expecting. But again, going back to the data to guide our decisions on, maybe we need to pivot and having that flexibility to pivot and being able to pivot quick enough to be able to properly prepare and give our educators the professional development that they need. And then that kind of goes into avoiding the check the box culture is what I call it. We all, again, just really limited on time. We find ourselves, well, let me just get this PD done because it's, we'll check the box, we'll be done with it. We have a calendar set for the year. Even though we know that this might not be what's needed right now, let's just check the box and move on. But check the box culture is not what's going to help our educators grow, and it's absolutely not what's going to help our students grow. And so if we just take that time to pivot, we take the time to maybe invest some time, more time on the front end than on the back end, everyone will have what they need.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about the flexibility piece. I think it's like a being able to be responsive to the needs of your staff, right? Mm-hmm. There is that spot of like, if
you realize like, oh, we actually, looking at this data, we actually need to do training on this thing before we can even get to that other thing. And I think it's the same thing you do in the classroom, right? Like you respond to your checks for understanding, your formative assessments, you respond to that and figure out what is needed. But like when you have a plan, when you have an overarching plan, you kind of know the maybe continuum that you're going. So like, if you have to kind of go back a little bit and then go forward, like, I think it helps you can just be more responsive if you have that set plan and you know where you're going. I think it's just like, sometimes if you just go into like, oh, we have a PD day coming up. I have no idea. Oh, I think we could just do one about self-regulation or something like that. I don't know. And I just think that sometimes it, as an educator, as a teacher, you can feel that you can, when someone who comes in to lead professional development is unprepared and unaware of what the environment is giving, like unaware of what's really needed, it really will fall flat and it will be, I just think it'll like come back to haunt you in so many ways. And so I think that just being super intentional about that time, because from what I know about adult learning is that adults, we don't want to sit through things that are not going to be relevant to us, that are not going to be important, like that could have been an email. Like that's the easy way for everyone to pick up their phone and be distracted and do something else, or grade papers, or, you know, especially if it just doesn't relate to them.
Yeah. And I would even just add to that, just, you know, when we go to a professional development and we know that this is not applicable to us, we're actually more resistant to come to the next one. Right. And whether we have to physically be there doesn't mean that we're mentally there. And that is an obstacle within itself, right? Like, how are you making sure that your educators are mentally present for this PD, and that all goes into the preparation of making sure that this PD is going to be impactful for them?
Well, and that's, I mean, to me, this is what I would say to the leaders listening is like, you know, that time is so valuable. You do not want to waste it, right? Mm-hmm. You only get so many allotted professional development days. And if you're in the Midwest, you may lose some to snow days. Like, you know,
right. You
only have so much time. And so really being super intentional about how you use that time and being very strategic about what you do together, what you ask teachers to do on their own, I think is just so important, because I mean, we just know we can't waste a second of it. And you want to make the most of that time together. We've talked a lot about some different strategies and different things, but is there any other that you haven't really mentioned as far as like overcoming some of these barriers so that PD can really serve to the sustainability of MTSS? Maybe that's really the question I want to ask, is like, how is it that we can really use PD to our advantage to really sustain the work of MTSS over the long haul?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we mentioned before, when we know what our educators need to be able to implement their roles and responsibilities within MTSS, and we provide that to them, we're setting them up for success, right? We're setting our entire school community up for success. And so I think too, we need to consider competing initiatives. Do we have too much going on? Is this going to overwhelm our educators in a way that they just literally won't be able to take this information and implement it to fidelity, or even be able to sustain, because we have so many things going on? I know I keep coming back to this check the box, but it gets very comfortable to check a box, and we have to just make sure that we're doing what matters.
Yeah. I want to come back to something you were saying about the competing initiatives. And I was talking with somebody recently and they were talking about sometimes if you're a district leader, you may not always have insight to like different initiatives that the schools are doing, right? Like you may say, oh, we're doing this MTSS thing, but maybe second grade is learning, they're getting a refresh on their reading curriculum. So they're also learning about a new reading curriculum, right? Or they've implemented this new e-hall pass at the middle school. So sometimes those competing initiatives may be smaller things that you aren't always aware of. So I think that as a leader, really considering district-wide, what are the different pieces that are happening? Because that can really be part of that competing initiative.
Yeah, and I would even say if you find yourself in a situation where you have competing initiatives, and sometimes it's just out of your control, right? Again, as I said before, doesn't mean we should just shy away from, you know, whatever component we want to focus on MTSS because we have other competing initiatives. Maybe if we have these competing initiatives, maybe there is a component of MTSS that would just flow really nicely with the initiatives that are currently going on.
Well, okay, Leticia, this has been a fantastic conversation. And I love talking about just how we can really use professional development in a way to move the work of MTSS forward. And I do think it is the secret ingredient to making sure that your MTSS is sustained over the long haul, right? Because if you don't do that foundational work with your educators, because they're the ones who are sustaining the work on a day-to-day basis, right? If the leaders are not doing that, then it will fizzle out. And so I think that that's a part of like thinking through what is the most important things and how can we do the work to sustain those over time? You know, and I think that takes a lot of really intentional planning and choices by the leadership. And that, and I'm talking district and building and your MTSS teams, right? Because they're the ones who can move that work forward. So, yeah. Any last words you want to say? Any advice to make a professional development phenomenal? What would you say to someone who maybe they have as a lead professional development here in the next month? What would you tell them?
I would definitely tell them to just make sure that whatever the professional development is, it's not a one-time thing. That, you know, it is an appropriate amount of information that is not going to overwhelm the participants receiving it, and that you have given them enough time to process the information, practice the information, apply the information, and then you have come back around, whether it's you personally or teams, to just get feedback on how it's going, and then obviously have the plan for the next professional development and what that's going to look like, because again, it cannot just be one time.
Yeah.
Well, and that's have food.
I was going to say, and have some snacks, right?
Yes, snacks.
Hey, we all appreciate that. What activity has been the most successful you as an icebreaker? Because we all love those team builder icebreaker questions.
Yes, this is a great one. I would say the one that people love the most is very, very simple. I ask them to take their phones out. And they're already shocked when I ask them to take their phones. Like, they're like, whoa, you want me to take my phone out during professional development? And then I ask them to find a picture within the last 30 days that they've taken that has given them the warm and fuzzy feelings. And they find their picture, and then I ask them to share it with their partner, and they get to talk about what that picture means to them and why it gives them warm and fuzzy feelings. And then I just, of course, remind them at the end that this is just for you to connect back to the people that you love, or the animals, because we get animals, cute animals that we love. And because we spend so much time taking care of other people's children, our colleagues at work, that it's always important to take care of ourselves, because we cannot pour from an empty cup, and also make sure that we take care of our loved ones at home. So I would say that that is a crowd pleaser all the time.
I love that. That's fantastic. That's a great idea. Because you get to learn a little bit about your participants too.
Yes, absolutely. You get to learn about your colleagues.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.